Way next door, we got something special just for you. And so, going through the book of Matthew chapter 4, if you want to grab your Bibles and follow along here. We're going through the red letters of Christ. And the red letters are the words that are spoken by Christ himself. I think a lot of people think and I love Jesus, but don't know what he says. And a lot of people kind of misconstrue and kind of have ideas what they think Jesus said. It's sometimes striking when you actually see the words of the Lord himself while he was here on earth. And so we're in Matthew chapter 4, 18 through 22 is the passage we're going to look at this morning. It says, "Then Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. Then going from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with the Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boats and their father and followed him." Jesus starts gathering up his disciples. We know he ends up with 12. One of them was a traitor. But they're all from every walk of life. We have both Peter and Andrew who were fishermen. They were sort of the small guy. And they're out mending their nets and taking care of those things. Also, just a little bit further, you can call James and John, the sons of Zebedee, that they were also fishermen, but this was more of a big commercial product. Actually, the scripture tells us that the dad had servants, and the sons worked for their dad. So this is more of a family business, if you will. And Peter and Andrew were small-time guys with their little boat, with their little net out fishing. And Jesus comes walking by, starts off his ministry, and he starts calling his disciples. Now, it's not unusual for a rabbi, for a teacher, to have followers. But typically what would happen is mom and dad would bring little Johnny and say, "Hey, can he be your disciple?" And the rabbi would be like, "Well, why should you be my disciple?" And you'd have to prove your credentials of why you're worthy to be a disciple of and a follower of whoever the teacher was. And oftentimes you were denied because you didn't match up to the qualifications, the standard of the teacher. Jesus goes about this all differently. He says, "Come," he calls the people who are probably unworthy to be followers. And I'm thankful for that. That still continues today. God didn't pick me because of my good looks, because I can talk, because I'm talented. He didn't pick me because of any of those things. I really don't know why he loves me. But boy, I'm glad he does. And Jesus goes out, and we're going to see later on, he calls a tax collector, and he calls a zealot, and he calls all these different groups of people from all different facets, and says, "Follow me." And we look at this idea of being a disciple of Jesus, to follow him. And we think of what that calls. A lot of people say, "Oh, I want to go to heaven when I die." Every once in a while you talk to a person and says, "Yeah, I want to go to hell with all my buddies. It's going to be a big party." I'm like, you haven't read the book. Because it's not a party place. It's not a wonderful place. No one wants to be there. But most people want to go to heaven when they die. "I want to accept you as my Savior, Lord. I want to take the penalty for my sins." But the idea of disciple goes further than that. It's a follower. It's one who learns of. And we are called to follow Jesus and what all that incorporates in our lives. And we've kind of lost that. Some people think a Christian is just maybe putting a little fish on your car, and maybe a little cross, and then that's as deep as it goes. And to be a disciple goes deeper than that. To follow. And where he leads, we follow. And where he goes, we go. And that's a level of commitment that God asks of us. And once again, this is a Stocks and Springs thing. This is the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He turns around and says, follow me. And something we need to realize, when we follow him, when we become his disciples, there is a cost to discipleship. Right? And these aren't popular things today to talk about. There is a cost to discipleship. Probably the closest I can think of these relationships that we have, that, you know, when you get married, I know usually in the vows somewhere it says forsaking all others, right? That I leave and I cling to my wife, right? I am now a follower, if you will, of our marriage, forsaking all others. There's a cost to it. As we look at our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there are certain costs that he says, consider the cost. Jesus elsewhere uses the illustration of someone who builds a house. And you don't start building a house without counting the cost. What's it going to cost to build this thing? And nowadays, right? I saw a meme on Facebook. A guy was driving around and he had 2 2x4s. And he goes, I apologize for flaunting my wealth. I mean, it's just unreal, the cost of lumber and all that today. But count the cost. He says, unless you get halfway through and you can't build it, right? We were living up north, and there was a house that was half built. And whoever built it didn't count the cost and got halfway done. And it became a big local joke about this house that was here. And then after a course of time, it just kind of rotted away because the person didn't have the finances to complete it. Well, he should have thought of that before he started building it, right? Count the cost. You know, I talked to couples who are getting married, and about a year or two after that, they're like, oh, I don't know if I want this anymore. Too late. You should have count the cost, right? I do that with couples, especially the ones I premarital counsel. I say, you sure? You know, and then they come to me afterwards like, I don't know. Too late. Right? Count the cost. And following the Lord, the first thing I want to look at is this idea of the cost of a discipleship. Folks, following the Lord Jesus Christ may cost us our family. And I'm not talking necessarily husband and wife type of, but our extended family. And I think some of you know what I'm talking about here. That because of your faith, because you're following the Lord, it has put you at odds with other family members. Right? Who don't love the Lord, who don't follow him, and who don't have that world point of view, and it causes points of contention with you and your family. Right? You know, maybe you're the crazy aunt that doesn't get invited anywhere anymore, right? Because you're that churchy person. Right? Or maybe you're the grandfather. Right? It's like, oh, here he goes again, right? And all these things we look at today, and the dividing point comes in because of family. It's interesting, with James and John, the Bible is clear that, look, Jesus said, follow me, and they not only left their nets, but they also left their dad. And I can imagine the struggle that's there, that they say, look, I want you to turn around and follow me, and all of a sudden give up the family business. And if you've ever been involved in family businesses, to walk away from that, I knew a gentleman in Bible school whose father just ostracized him because he was supposed to inherit the farm. And he said, no, God's called me to preach. Yeah, but what about the farm? It's been generation after generation. You can't do this to us. And he was just ostracized from his family because he followed the Lord Jesus Christ instead of following tradition. And don't think it's strange. Jesus himself warns us. Luke tells us this. And once again, these are red letters, right? This is Jesus' own words here. He says, look, if anyone comes after me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, his own life also cannot be my disciple. Now, I don't think Jesus is saying we're supposed to hate them. But in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes first. As opposed to mom, dad. I remember years ago, a friend of ours, actually a friend of my wife's, was trying to cause trouble between us. And she wasn't a Christian, and my wife is. And she said, well, do you love God more than you love your husband? Because I'm standing right there. She thought she was just kind of stir the pot. And my wife says, yes, I love God more than I love my husband. And she looked at me and she goes, well, how do you feel about that? And I said, you know what? I'll play second fiddle to God any day. Right? And she took a step back. Jesus goes even harsher than this. In Luke verse 12, he says, do not suppose that I came to give peace on the earth. I did not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided. 3 against 2, and 2 against 3. Father will be divided against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The division comes in. Of serving the Lord Jesus Christ, we got to say, Lord, I will follow you. And it may cost us the relationship with those that we consider closest to us, who don't understand. But Lord, I will go where you want me to go. And I will follow you. And it may cost me those who are close to me. But one of the blessings, we're going to get into the rewards, is that oftentimes God brings us together to a church family. You know, my family is all 1,200 miles away. You guys are my family. You're stuck with me. But you're a blessing. Cost of being a disciple, we talk about our family, may cost us our relationships that way. It may cost us our popularity. It may cost us our social status. We might have Facebook friends who no longer want to be our friends anymore because we put religious stuff on there. We're seeing this in the world today that, you know, it's interesting. Every other group seems to be protected except Christians are free game. And you've been watching what's taking place in Alberta, Canada. Pastors are being arrested. This is Canada for holding church services because of the COVID situation. Right now in Cuba, Christian pastors are being persecuted because the government is trying to make them support the party line. And preachers are standing on the gospel. John says this, once again, these are Jesus' own words. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. We broadcast all over. I found it interesting about a year ago when COVID was kind of really ramping up. And, you know, a lot of places were doing on. And I found it interesting that the local papers and all that loved it when churches had COVID go through. And they broadcast it and put it up there in super spreader events. Yet at the same time, people were protesting various other things. And those were okay. But, boys, watch out for the church. Right? And we're going to be at odds. There are things that the world today is saying right, where the Bible says it's wrong, and we stand upon the word of God, and the world's going to hate us for it. You guys know one of my many problems is I want people to like me. I do. You know, and people don't. I don't know why. I'm a likable guy, aren't I? Don't. Okay. I don't want to look. I'm asking for a show of hands. Right? And so I want people to like me. I don't want people to be upset with me. Right? And they want to look at me and call me various phobias. You know, I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. I'm not afraid of anyone. And I try to treat everyone the same. But I can't change God's word. And I will stand on it. And I will defend it. And I will teach it. And because of this, the world will hate us. And Jesus says here, he says, don't worry about it. You know what? They don't hate you. They hate me. We're just kind of in the way. There's a cost for discipleship. And the last thing I want to point out this morning as far as cost goes is, it may cost us temporal pleasures. You know, we may not go out and do all the things that the world does. We don't watch all the things the world watches. We don't listen to all the things the world listens to. We're not involved in all those things, or probably some of the things we shouldn't. Because things aren't always beneficial to our walk with the Lord. There are things that I do that I know the Lord isn't going to like. And because he's my main relationship, I want to keep that way clear. So it affects everything that I do. Jesus says this in Mark. He says, "What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" The things of this world are temporary. They're all going to pass. They're going to be gone. It just struck me this, you know, last week, my neighbor, who's younger than I am, who's a healthy guy, who walks and hikes and runs and eats good. I do none of those things. Died of a heart attack last week. This life is fleeting. Now, some of you guys are further down the road to me, you know, but, you know, now I've hit my 50s, and more people that I know are passing away. Where did it go? This year I've done so many funerals already. So far this month I have three more funerals I'm doing this month. And guess what? I've never been in a funeral where they hauled up a U-Haul to the cemetery. You can't take it with you. All of this stuff is temporary. Book of Ecclesiastes even warns. He says, look, even if you build up it all up, and after you die, your family's going to come and give it all away, right? I mean, you work your whole life for something, and someone else who doesn't have any vested interest is going to squander it all. What good is it all? Yet we pursue it with all our hearts and with all our ambitions. We grab it all. We can give up everything. Jesus says, what good is that all if you lose your own soul? No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. Cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is the sort of the god of stuff. That's a loose translation. Right? I remember years ago talking to a gentleman, and he turned around and said, if you're not careful, the things you own will own you. Right? The more stuff you have, the more it grabs a hold of you. It may cost us the temporal pleasures of this world. But let me tell you, you can say, well, Pastor, wow, you made a really good case for being a disciple. I just want to be honest with you. There's a cost, but let me tell you something. There are rewards for following the Lord. First one is our salvation. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Right? We have a salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the forgiveness of sins today in communion. We partook of that reminder what the Lord did for us. And when I stand before the Lord, he sees me as clean because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't have to bear the shame and the reproach of sin anymore because it's been all washed away. I don't have to be a bondage to sin anymore. He's freed me from those things. And I still wrestle with it, and I still stumble, and he still loves me. He gives me peace. Today's a... this world is upside down. And the violence and all this being torn apart and the hatred that's in this world today, we need peace. I need peace. You know, if I watch the news longer than 5 minutes, I'm like, ay, ay, ay. Now, I'm a fairly adventurous guy. I'm not really scared of too much. You know, I like the rides that make you puke. You know, I like to do risky things and eat risky foods. You know, I'll eat something out of the fridge that's been there way too long. Right? I'm edgy. But I'll tell you, you watch the news for longer than 5 minutes, and it scares you. Lord, I need your peace. Romans tells us this, therefore, having been justified with God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? I have peace with my Maker, with my Creator. If I were to die right now, I know I could stand before my Lord. And he'll say, come. I have peace with him. Jesus tells us this, his peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus gives us his peace in the midst of the storms of this life. In the middle of this pandemic, I had a Savior I could grab a hold of. Right? When I'm afraid, when I am in doubt, I can run to him and find that peace, security on the rock that is higher than all this other stuff. I don't have to be afraid because, you know what? I've read the end of the book. I know how it ends. I'll make a plug. Sunday night we're doing Book of Revelation. Come join us. I'll give you a hint. God wins. I can have peace in all this. Reward of being a Christian or being a disciple is fellowship. We have fellowship with one another. That in here, within the body of Christ, we have brothers and sisters who love each other, that care for each other. I know that there's something that I need. I can reach out to you and you will pray for me, that you will help me, you will encourage me in this walk. I am not alone. Today, with all this social media today, you know what the number one problem people have? Is that they're alone. You may have 1,000 Facebook friends, but how many true friends do you have? And I look at church as a family. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know my family. The best part of family. But sometimes we don't get along. Sometimes we don't see eye to eye. That's fine. But we press on together. And we rejoice with those that rejoice. We weep with those that weep. And part of the fellowship we have with one another. What a blessed assurance that we can have in all this. The fellowship we have with those who have gone on before, that, like I said, I've done so many funerals this past year and a half that I look forward to the day where no more funerals, no more cancer, to be with the Lord. I think part of what I'm going to do for half of eternity, what do you do for all eternity? I think half of what I'm going to do is I'm going to look up all your relatives and hear stories about you. All your loved ones who have gone on before. We'll get down and talk. I'm going to sit down with Abraham and David. I want to go up to Adam. And I want to see if he has a belly button. Think about it. Right? Did he have a belly button? I don't know. It's true. So I don't know. But right? Up in heaven, I think there's a nursery in heaven. I have no theological basis on this at all. I think this is my heart desire. But we have two babies that I know are in heaven. And I don't want them stuck as a baby for all eternity. I don't want that. But I just want... I just want 5 minutes to hold them. Then after that, but what a day that's going to be, folks, when we're united together with fellowship. This is just a foretaste of what was in store for us. You can have this world. You can take it all, but give me Jesus. Folks, the reward of being a disciple is truth. In this world, I couldn't help but watching the news this morning. And the news I watch, they have every Sunday. They probably have it during the week too. But we'll do this verified, where they turn around and they fact check things. Right? I'm sick of all these fact checkers, you know, because it all depends on all points of view and all that. On Facebook, someone posted on there that Payday was going to change their name so not to offend the unemployed. And Facebook fact checked that and said Payday isn't changing their name. It was a joke. I was like, really? I was like, come on, right? I mean, this is the crazy world we're in, right? It's like, Let me tell you something. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This does not lie. It does not change. What was true yesterday is true today, will be true tomorrow. And folks, we have Jesus. We have the truth. The idea of the disciples, Jesus was teaching some very hard things. We've seen this morning, even the idea of discipleship, of the cost of discipleship, that's hard for some. Some people don't want to leave this world. They don't want to leave what they have to follow Jesus. They don't want to give up their sin to follow Jesus. They don't want to do all those things. The cost is too high. But Jesus was teaching some hard things, and the crowd started to leave. And Jesus turns around to his 12, and he says, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else can we go? Folks, I want to follow Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. I want to see the world through his eyes. I want to know what's true and what's not. And folks, can I tell you something? You're not going to get it from the world. They're changing the story every day. Have you noticed that? And then they act like they don't. That drives me nuts. Oh, we've always said that. Well, no, you didn't. Well, don't believe your ears. Believe what I'm telling you now. And then tomorrow they'll tell you something else. I'm glad that I can follow the one who never changes. And Jesus says, follow me. And then he says, I will make you fishers of men. Here's the best part. Our goal is to come and then tell people to come along with us. Right? I'm following Jesus. You know, what are you doing today? I'm following Jesus. Come on! Can I tell you something? I'm probably a bad pastor because my goal is for you to follow me. You don't want to follow me. I'll let you down. I'll fail you. I'll stumble. I'm human. Right? Don't follow me. Follow him. There was a movie years ago, and I can't remember, but it was a funeral scene. Probably really politically incorrect. But they're going down, and a family decided they weren't going to go to the graveside. So they're driving down the road, and all these cars are behind them. And so they turn around and said, "Oh, okay, around the next corner, we'll split off the line, right? So we'll take our car and we'll swerve off." And so they came to the next corner, they swerved while everyone followed them. And so then they're going around town. And it's a whole comedy thing. They're all trying to shake the progression line as they're trying to go through town and try to lose it. Right? Don't follow me. Don't follow a person. Don't follow a man. Don't follow a leader. Follow Jesus. And then ask everyone to come along. My job isn't to say, follow me. My job is to say, look, I'm following Jesus. Come on! Let's go! The more the merrier. Church isn't some inclusive club where the holy saints are risen and we're all perfect and we're all holy. That's not it at all. We are all sinners who are saved by grace. We're the lost who have been found. Who says, I want to follow you. And we're all in this together. Jesus tells us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the edge of the age. Go make disciples. Go make more followers. Encourage those to come. Folks, we are in a world that's lost and they need a Savior. We have a world that's in bondage. Jesus sets them free. Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's pray. Our dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement in it, Lord. I pray you strengthen us to follow you, no matter the cost. Lord, what you offer us is far beyond the values of this world. Take this world and give me Jesus. And Lord, help us to follow you. Lord, if we stumble, you pick us up. If we wander off the path, Lord, you find us and restore us. But Lord, help us to follow you. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand and sing? We're going to sing, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus."